May I read two verses of Scripture as a background for our study tonight? Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 7. Romans 8, 26 and 7. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And in these verses, the Apostle Paul has revealed to us one of the most profound truths concerning the secret of praying. We need help. And help has been promised to us. And I want to talk to you briefly this evening on this thought of praying by the Spirit, or divine help in our prayer. I remember a good many years ago, back when I was in college, a number of girls from the adjoining state teachers' college who attended one of the churches there decided that they would entertain a number of fellows from the college I attended. And they sent out an invitation to us to come to a picnic supper that they were providing. And they had so arranged it that there would be an equal number of fellows for the girls. Which is a nice arrangement. And one of those young ladies in that church sent me an invitation to attend. And I, of course, thought that I would be eating with Dorothy Harrison. She said, "Well, that's not quite the way it's arranged." She said, each girl will provide a picnic supper for one fella, but no fella knows which girl he's going to get. Well, I had an idea of which one I wanted to eat with and whose supper I wanted to eat, but I've been told I couldn't be sure that I would get to eat with her or to eat her supper. Now, they were all nice girls, but they weren't all nice looking. I was a little bit concerned as what was going on, and this girl invited me, let me in on a secret. She said, "The way we have it arranged is that when the fellas come into the room, there's going to be a sheet across the room, and all the girls are going to be behind the sheet." And she said, "The girls will put their right hand through a slit in the sheet and put a bare right foot out from under the sheet. And then the fellows have to select which girl they eat with." Well, that created a problem, because there isn't too much identifiable about a hand or a foot. But this girl that invited me, I think, wanted me to eat her lunch or her supper, and she tipped me off that... The little toenail on her foot would be painted red. Now, all of the fellows who were with me knew of my interest in this girl. And when I walked up to that sheet and picked out one hand and said, I'm going to eat with this girl, and then she came out from behind the curtain, all the fellows said, how in the world were you able to pick her out from the whole bunch? And I never told them. But you see, in my ignorance, I had some guidance. In my ignorance, I had some guidance. And I didn't have to depend on myself. I could depend on her. And she got what she wanted, and I got what I wanted. And look at the result. Now, as facetious as that may seem, there is a deep principle concerning this matter of praying. For when the apostle comes to teach us about praying, he recognizes the fact of our ignorance. We are just too ignorant to pray. The reason is very simple. God will never answer a prayer that is contrary to His will. Never. And by praying, you do not change the mind of God. And you do not alter the plan and the program of God. The only prayer that ever will or can be answered is the prayer that is prayed in accordance with the will of God. But how can I know what the will of God is? How can you know what the will of God is? And if we are to pray and have prayers answered, we need help. Because we are too ignorant to pray. And that's what the apostle had in mind when he says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. And then he explains what our infirmity is. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Or to put it as simply as I know how, we can't pray effectively or effectually because we are ignorant. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and the Holy Spirit is a helper. In the 14th and 16th chapters of John's Gospel, the Spirit is referred to as the Comforter in our translation, and the word Comforter is the word which means helper. He is the helper on behalf of our ignorance, because we do not know God, and so the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of Christ. He is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper on behalf of our weakness. We cannot stand up against the world and the flesh and the devil. We are too weak. But we have a helper. And we can lean upon Him. And the Holy Spirit, and I say it reverently, is to a weak child of God, what a crutch is to a man with a broken leg. Something on which to lean so that we can stand. He is our helper in behalf of our ignorance about God the Father and God the Son. He is a helper on behalf of our weakness in our battle against sin and Satan. Now here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, he is a helper again. This time, a helper in behalf of our ignorance about what God's will is. Have you come to places in your life where you're at a crossroads and you simply don't know which way to turn? You know that if you turn to right, your destiny is going to be one thing. If you turn to the left, your destiny is going to be entirely different. I'm sure you men face situations like that in your business life every day. You young people are facing questions like that. The school that you decide to attend is going to change the destiny of your life. And you won't be the same thing if you go to one school as though you went to another school. The partner that you select for your life's mate is going to determine the course of your destiny. And on the basis of these decisions, destiny is cast. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know which selection to make. You don't know which direction to go. But you have a helper. And the Holy Spirit is that helper. He helpeth our infirmity or our ignorance, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now the apostle shows us in these verses that on behalf of our ignorance, the Spirit can pray intelligibly for us. It may not have come to the experience of you young people yet, but I know that it has come to the experience of your parents and adults and older people. When your heart is so burdened, you can't put into words what you need or what you want God to do. All you can say perhaps is, "Oh God, oh God, oh God," and you can't even put into words what you want Him to do for you. So great is the burden, so great is the pressure, so great is the need. And you need one who can translate your cry into an intelligent prayer. And the Holy Spirit can take the great burden of your heart that you can't put into words, and He can translate it into the language of heaven so that God can interpret that prayer. And that's the ministry of the Spirit. You may have nothing but a burdened, crushed heart. You may have nothing more, or you may have a need that you cannot vocalize and say, "God, I want you to do this and this and this." You don't know what is best to do, and you don't know what you want God to do. You want God's will, but you don't know what it is. And your heart just cries out to God with a great cry, "Oh God, help me." You haven't asked God for anything. And God answers when we ask Him for specific things. A lot of people pray, "Oh God, bless me. Oh God, bless my family. Oh God, bless the missionaries." May I say it sincerely, that's not prayer. What blessing do you want? What specific thing are you asking God for? You will say, "Well, I know I need God's blessing, I know I need God's help, but I don't know enough to know what I need." And so you come to God with this great cry of your heart. And the precious truth that Paul states here is, verse 26, "The Spirit Himself maketh intercession on behalf of the unutterable groanings which we cannot express." Now, may I read it that way again? "The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us on behalf of our inexpressible groaning." And so, the Holy Spirit takes the burden that we have, and the desire we have, and the longing we have, and the hunger we have, and He translates it into the language of heaven, and He puts it into the ear of God as a specific prayer. It's as though I said, "Oh God, I need You." And the Holy Spirit says, "Father, He needs Your comfort." Or, "Father, He needs Your strength." Or, "Father, He needs Your wisdom." And the Father says to the Spirit, "You ask for wisdom in response to His cry, I'll give it." He's translating my unutterable groanings into the language of heaven so that God can answer. Now, how can the Spirit pray this way? In verse 27, He is able to intercede or to pray on my behalf because He knows the mind and the will of God. Look at the end of verse 27. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints, that's me, according to the will of God. Now, in my ignorance, I don't know what to ask God for. And the Spirit of God knows the mind of God and what God plans and purposes for me, His child. And so the Spirit of God can take my unuttered request and He can translate it into the specific thing that was in the mind of God. Now read it again. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit will never ask a request for me contrary to God's will. And so the Spirit knows the longing of my heart, and He translates that into a specific request, and God can answer the request of the Spirit. Here's another truth that Paul emphasized in the first part of verse 27. God the Father can understand the prayer of God the Son. Of God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never prays an unintelligible prayer. The Holy Spirit is never faced with a situation where He doesn't know what to ask for like we are. He that searcheth the hearts, that's God the Father, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes my unutterable groanings, He puts them into the language of heaven. God the Father understands the language of God the Son and hears the prayer of the Spirit on my behalf as a specific request. Now, beloved of God, to me this is a precious, precious truth. Because I am faced over and over and over with situations I can't handle, needs I can't meet, decisions that I don't know the outcome, and all I can do is cry to God. And the Holy Spirit who dwells in me takes my unutterable burdens and He translates them into intelligent prayers so that the Spirit of God, so that the Father can answer the prayer of the Spirit. And He answers the prayer of the Spirit as though it were my prayer, so that my unutterable prayers are answered by God. This is God's help provided so that I can pray. Now, what does this mean? Quite simply, it means that if I'm going to pray and have my prayers answered, I should listen to what the Spirit of God tells me to pray for. May I make that very plain? I must listen to what the Spirit of God tells me to pray for. A man never learns anything while he is talking. He only learns when he's listening. And I'm sure that most of us would have to confess when we pray, we start in talking, and we keep going until we reach an amen, and then that's the end of it. Who has been doing the praying? I have. I haven't paused long enough to let the Spirit of God whisper in my ear what He knows God wants to do so I can ask God to do what He's ready and willing and able to do. I think a secret of effective praying is to be quiet. Permit the Spirit of God to tell me something I'm to pray for, and then I pray for it. And then instead of launching into a discourse to inform God of a lot of things He already knows, be quiet a while. And listen and let the Spirit of God tell me something else for which I ought to pray. When I'm quiet before the Lord this way, the Lord may bring somebody way out there to mind. Perhaps I haven't thought about him for a long time, but suddenly that person is brought to my mind. What does it mean? The Spirit of God is telling me to pray for that person. Well, what am I supposed to pray about then? Be quiet before the Lord. And the Spirit of God will direct me to pray for some specific thing for that person way out there. And when I've prayed for that, be quiet before the Lord again. And the Spirit of God will direct me in my praying. May I remind you again, the Spirit of God knows what God wants to do. The Spirit of God will never prompt me to pray contrary to the will of God. But He will direct my praying into those specifics of the will of God so that the hand of God is moved and my prayer is answered. If you would pray by the Spirit, first of all, trust the Spirit of God to translate your petition into the ear of God, even though you don't know that for which you ought to pray, but your heart just cries out to Him. In the second place, if you would pray by the Spirit, listen. Don't be praying or saying words all the time. Listen. And then pray specifically for that which the Spirit of God directs or prompts you to pray. Don't be in a hurry. The Spirit of God isn't in a hurry. Satan would delight to get us so occupied with ourselves that we don't pray by the Spirit. He would like us to believe that we know what we ought to pray for so that we do the praying instead of let the Spirit do the praying through us. God has given us a helper. A helper because we're too ignorant to know what we need or what we ought to pray for. And when we listen to Him, He will prompt us to pray according to the will of God. And when we're too burdened, or we're too ignorant to know even what to pray for, He can translate the unutterable desires of our heart into intelligent prayer according to the will of God, that our prayer might be answered. May the Lord teach us to pray by the Spirit. We ask our Father that God the Holy Spirit may direct us in our praying so that we do pray according to the will of God. And even when we are too burdened to put our requests into words, we thank Thee that we can trust the Spirit of God to translate those unutterable groanings into intelligent petitions in the ear of God. Teach us to depend on our Helper in our praying. We thank Thee for our time together. Use it to Thy glory and our good, and dismiss us with the riches of Thy grace and mercy and peace upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.